bottom of Nun Gimel Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Ibaya Lahu, Chumsha Milagav, U Chumsha Milavar. The Gemara raises a very fundamental question when it comes to understanding the nature of Chomesh. Chomesh, as we'll talk about on today's daf, permeates basically three different areas of halacha. When a person tries to redeem Maaser Sheni, Hekdesh, in certain cases Truma, there's a penalty that you pay of a fifth, of a Chomesh, again, only in certain instances. And the Gemara wants to know, how exactly do you calculate a fifth? Now you think, what do you mean? It's a fifth. You pay a fifth of the value. However, the Gemara has two possibilities. The first is called Chumsha Milagav, which literally means a fifth from the inside, which is what we call a fifth. So if, let's say, for example, the item was worth 20 dinar, so a fifth is going to be 24, right? A fifth of 20 is 4, so you pay 24. The other option, the less conventional, although we'll see that that's probably the way that we paskin, is called Chumsha Milavar, a fifth from the outside, which basically means a fifth of the total when you factor in the final amount that you pay, which includes the penalty, which is basically what we refer to as a fourth or a quarter. So that would mean that for a 20 dinar item, you'd be paying 25 dinar instead of 24. So that's the Gemara's question. Amar Ravina, Tashma, Habaylim Omrim Be'esrim, V'chol Adam Be'esrim, Habaylim Kodmin Mipeneshem Mosifin Chomesh. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Erechin that states the following. Let's say you have a person who donated an item for Hekdesh, and they want to redeem the item for 20 dinar, and another person also wants to redeem that same item for 20 dinar. So then we give preference to the owner, because as we just pointed out, You only pay the additional fifth penalty when you're redeeming your own item of Hekdesh or Maaser Sheni, not for someone else's. Then the Mishnah continues, Amar Echad Harei Olai Be'esrim Be'echad Habaylim Nosen Esrim Vashesh Esrim Ushnayim Habaylim Nosen Esrim Vasheva Be'esrim Veshalosh Habaylim Nosen Esrim Ushmona Be'esrim Ba'arba Habaylim Nosen Esrim Vatesha Esrim Vechamesh Habaylim Nosen Shloshim Lefi She'en Mosif and Chomesh Al Ilui Shalzeh Shmamina Chomsha Milavar Shmamina. The Mishnah in Erechin rattles off various scenarios where some other person who's not the owner says, you know what, I'm willing to pay X amount of money to redeem this item from Hekdesh, whether it's 21, in other words, anywhere from 21 to 25 dinar. In all of these scenarios, the owner is going to have to pay the premium. He's going to have to pay the additional fifth. Based on the calculations that the Mishnah and Erechin puts forth, it's clear that we take the second approach in the Gemara. The Chomesh, at a fifth, is not what we call a fifth, but it's rather what we call a quarter. So that means that when you're redeeming an item that's worth 20 dinar, for example, you're going to actually have to pay 25 dinar to redeem it, as opposed to 24. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Kiss Anai V'yasav Chamishi So Alav Sheyehu V'Chumsho Chamisha Divrei Rabbi Yoshia Rabbi Yonasan Omer Chamishi So Chumsho Shel Keren." The Gemara just points out that these two opinions about how to assess a fifth, whether it's literally a fifth or what we refer to as a quarter, is reflected by a machlokas between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan. But how to understand a pasuk at the end of Parshas Bechukosai that refers to redeeming items that are hektish? The pasuk says, "V'yasav Chamishi So Alav." You're going to add a fifth to it, to the item. According to Rabbi Yoshia, that means that it and the item have to total five parts. It has to be divided into fifths. So that's the opinion, that's Chumsha Milagav. That's the first approach of the Gemara. That's what we refer to as a fifth. And Rabbi Yonasan disagrees and says, no, that Chamishi So means Chumsho Shel Keren. It means a fifth of the principal, which again is what we refer to as Chumsha Milavai. Okay, then the Gemara says, Yiboy Elohu, Chomesh Ma'akiv O Eino Ma'akiv. Dalit B'dalit Parik V'akenav She Mosif Chomesh Alma Chomesh Lo Ma'akiv O Dilma Arba. The Gemara has a further question when it comes to the very nature of paying this additional penalty, whatever it is, a fifth, a quarter, whatever it is that ma'akev? In other words, let's say, for example, you want to go ahead and redeem the produce that you consecrated, or the maaser sheni that has kedusha. You want to desacralize it, and you want to be able to eat it outside the confines of Yerushalayim, but it's your own produce, so you have to pay the additional fifth slash quarter penalty. So the question is, if you have not yet paid that additional chomesh, are you still allowed to eat the produce, provided that you at least pay the keren, the base principal amount? So on the one hand, you can argue that the chomesh is basically tangential. It's external. The main payment is the keren, is the principal, and then there's an additional obligation to pay chomesh, but that payment of chomesh, or that failure to pay the chomesh, does not prevent you from consuming the consecrated produce. Or you can argue that perhaps no, that the obligation of chomesh is built into the obligation of redemption. When you want to redeem produce that you consecrated, or your own maaser sheni produce, you must pay the additional additional chomesh penalty in order to be able to consume the produce. So Amar Ravina Tashma Hadimai Ein Lo Chomesh VeEin Lo Bior HaKeren Yeshlo. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah Maseches Demai that talks about what if I have produce of Maaser Sheni which happens to be Demai. Demai, as we know, is produce where there's a suffix, we're unsure whether Maestros have been separated from it. So the Mishnah in Demai tells us that there is no payment of Chomesh. You don't pay that additional penalty when it comes to redeeming Maaser Sheni, which is Demai. And also, it's not subject to the laws of Bior. Bior, in this context, refers to a halacha that appears in the beginning of Parshas Kisava, which is that every third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, there's an obligation of Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis. You have to remove the consecrated produce, in this context specifically, the Maaser Sheni from your house. However, that halacha does not apply to Maaser Sheni, which is Demai. So the Gemara infers from this Mishnah, HaKeren Yeshlo. But there is an obligation to pay for the Keren, to pay the principal value of the Maaser Sheni of Demai. My time. Why is that the case? Keren, Dema'akev Bida Oraisa, Isa Bida Rabbanan, Chomesh, Delo Ma'akev Bida Oraisa, Lesa Bida Rabbanan. The Gemara explains that the payment of Keren, failure to pay the principal value of Maaser Sheni, that will be Ma'akev. That will prevent you from consuming the Maaser Sheni on a level of De Oraisa. Therefore, Chazal instituted that in a case of Maaser Sheni De Rabbanan, namely in a case of Demai, you must pay the Keren in order to enable you to consume the formerly consecrated produce. However, when it comes to Chomesh, which itself is not Ma'akev, even for Maaser Sheni Mida Oraisa, failure to pay Chomesh does not prevent you from consuming Maaser Sheni. Therefore, Chazal basically did away with it entirely in the case of Demai, which is only Mida Rabbanan. The Gemara points out further, Lema Kisanoi, Nasa Nasa Keren Velo Nasa Nasa Chomesh, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yeyachel, Rabbi Yehoshua Omer Lo Yeyachel. The Gemara referenced this, points out that this is really a Machlokes Tanayim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua regarding the case of a person who only paid the Keren and not the Chomesh. Are they allowed to consume the Maaser Sheni or the Hektish, whatever the item happens to be? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and Rabbi Yehoshua says no. Amar Rabbi, Nirin Divri Rabbi Eliezer B'Shabbos, V'Divri Rabbi Yehoshua B'Chol. Now, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi basically splits the psak. He says that Rabbi Eliezer's position makes more sense when it comes to Shabbos, as we'll talk about in a second in the Gemara, whereas Rabbi Yehoshua's position is more logical when referring to the weekday. Now, the Gemara points out, Mida Amar Nirin Divri Rabbi Eliezer B'Shabbos, Michlal Defligei Afilu B'Chol. Mida Amar Nirin Divri Rabbi Yehoshua B'Chol, Michlal Defligei Afilu B'Shabbos. The fact that Rabbi says that Rabbi Eliezer makes more sense on Shabbos and Rabbi Yehoshua's position makes more sense on a weekday, the implication is that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua themselves hold of their positions across the board, both on Shabbos and on the weekday. It's just that Rebbe was the one who was taking sides on this issue and said, I think this position is more logical for Shabbos, this position is more logical for the weekday. My lav b'has svarakam miflegei, the Rabbi Eliezer savar chomesh lo ma'akev, the Rabbi Yehoshua savar chomesh ma'akev. So presumably, what the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua revolves around is this very question. Is failure to pay that additional penalty of a chomesh, is that going to prevent you from consuming the Maaser Sheni? And the Gemara rejects this. Amar Rav Papa lo, dechule alma chomesh lo ma'akev. Everyone agrees that failure to pay the chomesh does not prevent you from consuming Maaser Sheni. The hacha b'chayshina lifshiyusa kamiflegei. Mar savar chayshina lifshiyusa. Mar savar lo chayshina lifshiyusa. The machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua is a completely different issue. The question is, do we need to be concerned for negligence? If we waive the obligation to pay chomesh, or we say you're allowed to consume the produce without paying the chomesh, the concern is that we're afraid that maybe in the future you're going to end up eating the produce or consuming the Maaser Sheni or the Hektish without paying the chomesh. That's the concern. So the Gemara says that was the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer was not concerned for this idea that maybe you're going to forget to pay the chomesh in the future, and Rabbi Yehoshua was concerned. That's the issue. That's what explains the machlokas as to whether you're permitted to consume the produce if you didn't pay the chomesh. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim Behektish Shechilel, Howel V'Gizbarin Tovin Oso Bashuk. Comes Rabbi Yochanan and says that although there's a machlokas that we just established between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua about a person who failed to pay the additional chomesh penalty when it comes to redeeming their own Maaser Sheni, we had a machlokas about whether you're allowed to consume the Maaser Sheni. Everyone agrees, says Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to redeeming the produce that you consecrated, in other words, hektesh, as opposed to Meiser Sheni, everyone agrees that even if you haven't paid the chomesh, you're allowed to consume the formerly consecrated produce. Why is that? So Rabbi Yochanan explains, because in the case of hektesh, you have an external stimuli that's basically encouraging you to go and pay the chomesh, which are the gizbarin, the treasurers of hektesh, are knocking at your door, or hounding you to make sure that you go ahead and pay that additional penalty. In contrast, when it comes to Meiser Sheni, when it comes to redeeming your own Meiser Sheni, you don't have anyone who's knocking at your door and trying to get you to pay that additional chomesh. So asks the Gemara, v'hektish lo plige v'hasanya, nasan esa karen v'lo nasan lo esa chomesh, Rebbe Eliezer omer chilel, v'chachamim omer lo chilel, amar Rebbe nirin divir Rebbe Eliezer v'hektish v'divir chachamim b'meiser, mida amar nirin divir Rebbe Eliezer v'hektish m'chlal d'folag afilu b'meiser, mida ka amar nirin divir chachamim b'meiser m'chlal d'in hu plige afilu b'hektish. The Gemara presents a very similar style or format to what it presented in the previous Gemara, but basically, the Gemara says that this really is a machlokas. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about any of these kinds of scenarios where the person only paid the karet, only paid the principal to redeem the item that was hektish, to redeem the Meiser Sheni, but he has not yet paid the chomesh. Rabbi Eliezer says that simply paying the karet, simply paying the principal is sufficient to desacralize the produce, and the Chachamim disagree, and comes Rebbe once again and splits the psak. Whereas in the previous Gemara, Rebbe's distinction was between Shabbos versus the weekday. Here, his distinction is between hektish versus Meiser Sheni. Namely, Rebbe says that Rebbe Eliezer's position makes more sense vis-a-vis hektesh. In other words, if you paid only the keren but not the chomesh for a consecrated for consecrated produce, for hektesh, that is considered desacralized. You are allowed to eat the produce. And the chachamim make more sense when it comes to Meiser Sheni. The failure to pay the chomesh is in fact going to prevent you from being able to eat the Meiser Sheni. But once again, the Gemara points out that the implication is that the chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer themselves seem to disagree across the board, even though Rebbe is taking sides on this issue and he's basically splitting the psak between hektesh and Meiser Sheni. But this really fundamentally is a machlokas across the board between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim about what happens if a person fails to pay chomesh. Are they allowed to consume the formerly consecrated produce or not? Rebbe Eliezer says across the board that it's mutter, both for hektesh and for Meiser Sheni, and the Chachamim across the board say that they're not allowed to, both for hektesh and for Meiser Sheni. Again, it's just Rebbe who splits the psak. So the Gemara says, Ela I itmar hachi itmar. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakomodin b'Shabbes v'hektesh shechilel chada dichsiv v'karasa l'Shabbes oneg v'od hoa v'gizbarin tovin oso bashuk. So the Gemara amends the case slightly. Rabbi Yochanan says that everyone agrees, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim will agree in the following case. If I have produce that I consecrated to hektesh, and it also happens to be Shabbos, and I only paid for the keren but not for the chomesh, that will be sufficient on Shabbos for hektesh to desacralize the produce, and that will enable me to eat the produce on Shabbos. Why does that change the math here? So the Gemara says for two reasons. First of all, because the pasuk in Yeshayahu says v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, the Shabbos is a day of enjoyment, it's a day of oneg, and therefore that's considered a leniency that we're going to invoke. And then the second reason is what the Gemara cited earlier, which is that hektesh is different from Meiser Sheni, because you have the gizbarin, you have the treasurers that are hounding you to make sure that you pay the chomesh. So those two factors together will enable you, if you only paid the keren and you haven't paid the chomesh, and it's a case of hektesh, and it's Shabbos, that will allow you to consume the produce even though you have not yet paid the chomesh. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hare Amru, hektesh enu mischalel al hakarka, derachamana amar v'nasan hakesef v'kamlo, chumsho mahu sheyischalel al hakarka. The Gemara now is going to present three questions that are very, very similar conceptually, and they all revolve around this question about whether we should differentiate between keren and chomesh, or should we essentially lump the two payments together? The first question revolves around the case of hektesh, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Bechoros that one is not allowed to desacralize hektesh using karka. Hektesh must be desacralized with money alone. How do we know that? The Gemara references a pasuk in Bechukosai. It's really an amalgamation of different psukim at the end of Parshas Bechukosai. V'nasad hakesef v'kam lo. You give the money, and then the item is redeemed. The item is assured, which is another way of saying the item is desacralized. So the Gemara says only kesef, only money alone will cause the produce to be desacralized, to the exclusion of karka. You cannot use karka to desacralize hektesh. The question is, what about the additional penalty of the chomesh that you pay when you desacralize your own hektesh? Are you allowed to desacralize the chomesh using karka or no? Or does that also need to be desacralized only with money? That's question one. Then the Gemara says, Truma ina mishtalemes elemen achulin derachamana amar v'nasan la
kohenas hakodesh dover harayliyos kodesh chum shamahu sheyishtalim shalom and achulin. The second question revolves around truma. The din is that, let's say, for example, a zar, a non-kohen, accidentally consumed truma. The halacha is that the zar has to pay compensation to the kohen in the form of chulin. The pasuk in Parshas Emor says v'nasan lakohen es hakodesh, that the zar who accidentally consumed truma has to give the kohen the kodesh, has to give the kohen the consecrated produce. The Gemara derives from that pasuk that only a davar harayliyos kodesh, something which is fit to be consecrated, is eligible for repayment of the truma that was accidentally consumed. Namely, that refers only to chulin, because chulin is something which can be consecrated. Something which is already truma can obviously not be consecrated again. So everyone agrees that if a zar accidentally ate truma, when it comes to paying the principal amount, he must use chulin to pay that principal, to make compensation for the principal. The question is, what about the additional penalty of a fifth that the Torah requires? Can you pay that from truma, or does that also have to be paid from chulin? That's question number two. And then finally, question three, Meiser in mischalel al ha'asimon, derachamana amar, vitzarta ha'kesef biyadecha, l'rabus kol davar she'yesh alav tzura, chum shom mahu she'ischalel al ha'asimon. This is an issue that we referenced a little bit earlier in this parak, which is when it comes to redeeming Meiser Sheni, there's a requirement that you are not allowed to use what's called an asimon. You cannot use an unminted coin or a token. It has to be a regular coin that's issued by the government, by the mint. It has to have it has to have an imprint on it, it has to have an image on it. The Gemara derives that from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Vitzarta ha-kesef biyadecha. You're going to bind the money in your hand. The Gemara derives from the word Vitzarta that it must be kesef she'yesh alav tzura. It has to be money that has an imprint, that has an image on it. If it's lacking in the imprint, so then it does not qualify to redeem Meiser Sheni. And again, the question is the same question we've been asking in the last two cases. What about when it comes to that additional penalty of a chomesh? Because as we know, when you redeem your own Meiser Sheni, you must pay a penalty of a fifth of a chomesh. Are you allowed to redeem that additional penalty using an asimon, using an unminted coin, or no? Does also, in that case, do you also require a regular minted coin? So the Gemara says, "Is galgel nosa umata lekame derava amar lehu amar kra alav lerabos chumcho kemoso." Comes Rava and it gives one answer to all three of these questions. The pasuk at the end of Bechukosa that we alluded to earlier says, "Viyasaf chamishiso alav." You have to add 1/5 to it. The Gemara derives from the word alav that chumcho kemoso, that the additional chomesh, the additional penalty that we keep on alluding to, has to be just like the principal, just as when it comes to payment for the keren, that has to be paid in the case of Hekdesh, it has to come from Kesef and not Karka. In the case of Truma, it has to come from Chulin produce and not Truma. In the case of Meiser Sheni, it has to come from a minted coin and not from an Asimon, from an unminted coin. Those same standards are going to carry over to the payment of the Chomesh as well. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Afa na nami tanina. We have a Mishnah in Trumos that corroborates this idea. The Mishnah says, Hagonev Truma velo achala, Mishalim tashlume kefel deme Truma, achala, Mishalim shnei kranim vachomesh, Karen vachomesh menachule. The Mishnah in Maseches Trumos makes the following observation. Let's say a person went ahead and they stole truma from a kohen. So if they didn't eat the truma, so then when they're paying compensation to the kohen for the stolen truma, they pay kefel like any other god of wood. But the kefel that they pay, the way you assess the value of the kefel, is based on the market value of truma. Now truma, we know, of course, is worth significantly less than chulin is. Why is that? Because the demand for truma, the number of people who can consume truma is far less than those who can consume chulin, because only kohanim can eat truma, anyone can eat chulin. So when it comes to a person who stole truma from a kohen but has not eaten the truma, he is only obligated to pay kefel from the truma market value of the produce that he stole. However, if he stole the truma and ate the truma, he basically gets slapped with two separate payments. He has to pay keren vachomesh from chulin, which is a higher valuation, plus he also pays the truma valuation of keren as well, which is an indication, says the Gemara, that chumsho kemoso, that the payment of chomesh is just like the payment of the keren. Amar Rava, gabe gezel ksiv v'chamishi sav yosef alav. When it comes to gezel, we just read this a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Vayikra. The pasuk refers to a person who stole. There's a mitzvah hashavas gezel. You have to return the item that you stole. The pasuk says v'chamishi sav yosef alav. Chamishi sav is in the plural. That the fifths that in other words, those penalties are going to be added on. So what does that mean exactly? Usna, we have a mission at the end of a comma. Nasal moes hakeren v'nishba lo al hachomesh. Hareza mosif chomesh al chomesh. The Mishnah Bava Kama illustrates the following case. Let's say, for example, a person stole from someone and he paid the keren. He already paid the principal of what he stole, and then he came to Beis Din and he swore falsely regarding the additional 1/5 penalty that you have to pay in a scenario where you swore falsely about stealing in the first place. This is a psukim at the end of Parshas Vayikra where you have to bring a karban asham if you swore falsely in court about cases of gezela. So the Mishnah says in Bava Kama that let's say you swore falsely about the chomesh, then we're going to slap you with another penalty. And then if you and basically every time you swear falsely about that additional 1/5 penalty that's being imposed upon you, you're going to have to, you know, basically continuously pay those penalties up to the point that it eventually diminishes the value of the keren of the principal to being less than a pruta. So in theory, you could be slapped with multiple payments of chomesh for every time that you falsely swear or deny the payment of chomesh that was imposed upon you. Then the Gemara says, "Gabi trumaksiv ish ki yochal kodesh bishkagav yasav chamishi so alav." In the context of truma, the pasuk says that if a person again consumes truma bishogeg, the pasuk says viasav chamishi so alav, you have to add the chomesh. You have to add that penalty of a chomesh. Usnan haochel truma bishogeg mishalim keren v'chomesh. The Mishnah tells us that if a person eats truma bishogeg, in the same case that we mentioned earlier, you have to pay the keren, which is the principal plus the additional chomesh. Echad haochel viachad hashoseh viachad hasach echad truma tahora viachad truma temeya mishalim chumsha v'chumsha dechumsha. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Shumos that if a person eats truma bishogeg, he has to pay the penalty. Sorry, one second. So again, the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to the cases of consuming truma bishogeg, you pay the keren v'chomesh. That's true whether you ate truma bishogeg, whether you drink the truma bishogeg, whether you used it as a lotion, you smeared it on your body bishogeg, and that's true whether the truma is tar or the truma is tameh. And the Mishnah says that you have to pay chomesh plus a chumsha de chumsha, an additional 5th penalty a second time. The ilu gabe meiser lo michtav ksiv velo misnatana velo iba uye iboya. But that is not the case when it comes to redeeming Meiser Sheni. In fact, we don't have a pasuk or a Mishnah or even a question raised by the Gemara to indicate that you should have to pay more than one payment of Chomesh. So the Gemara says, Gabe Hekdish Ksiv, V'im Hamakdish Yigal Es Beso, V'yasav Chamishas Kesef Erkecha. In the case of Hekdish, So in the case of Hekdesh, when it comes to redeeming Hekdesh, so the Mishnah tells us that if you redeem Hekdesh, you have to pay the penalty of a 5th plus the additional 5th. And again, that's derived from the fact that it says V'yasav Chamishas Kesef Erkecha. So the Gemara says again, the Imam Hekdesh Yigalas Beso V'yasav Chamishas Kesef Erkecha Usnan Hapoda Es Hekdesho Mosif Chomesh Chumsha Tanan Chumsha De Chumsha Lo Tanan. So the Mishnah Erechin only tells us that you pay the original penalty of a 5th when it comes to redeeming Hekdesh, but there's no indication anywhere in the Mishnah Erechin that you have to pay that secondary 5th penalty. So the Gemara says, "My, what's the halacha? Gabi Truma Ksiv Yasaf, Gabi Kodesh Nami Haksiv Yasaf." On the one hand, you can argue that just as when it comes to redeeming Truma, or a case of a Zar who accidentally ate Truma, the Torah says the word Vyasaf. Vyasaf indicates we're going to add on, we're going to slap you with an additional 1/5 penalty. So perhaps that same standard applies to Hekdesh. O Dilma, Gabi Truma Ksiv Vyasaf, Isha Kalple Levav De Vyasaf, Vishadisle Al Chamishiso, Havale Chamishisav, Gabi Hekdesh Ksiv Vyasaf Chamishis, Afagav De Chisha Kalple Levav The Gemara says the other option is to suggest the following, that the vav in the word viasaf is almost superfluous, and I could take that vav and stick it onto the end of the word chamishiso. Chamishiso is singular. It means one penalty of a chomesh, 1/5, but then when you take the vav and you add and becomes chamishisav, that's in the plural. That's multiple payments of a 5th. So therefore, I can argue that's true in this scenario of truma, that I could take the vav of viasaf, stick it onto the word chamishiso, becomes chamishisa, which means that I now have to pay multiple penalties of a 5th for various scenarios of consuming truma bishogeg. In contrast, when it comes to hekdesh, so the Torah only uses the word viasaf chamishis, which means that even if I took the vav of viasaf and I stuck it onto the word chamishis, I would still only get chamishiso, which is in the singular, which would mean that I would only have to pay one singular payment of a 5th. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. V'seipuklei d'havale hekdesh sheni v'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi a hekdesh rishon mosif chomesh al hekdesh sheni ein mosif chomesh. The Gemara takes a step back. The Gemara says, well, we can undermine this question entirely. Why is the Gemara raising this fundamental question about whether you have to pay this you know, multiple penalties of a fifth for redeeming hekdesh based on how we interpret the word viasaf. Do we take the vav? Do we stick it on to the end of the word? Or do we just look at the fact that it says viasaf by truma, viasaf by hekdesh? There's a much more fundamental problem here, which is that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi tells us the only time that you ever pay a chomesh is for the initial consecration, for the initial hekdesh. If you have an item which is already truma, which is already hekdesh, you're not paying the additional fifth because the item is already consecrated. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar leir of popular ravina, hachi amar rava, chomesh kischilas hekdesh dame, comes to Gemara and comments that the payment of chomesh, the payment of a fifth, is on par or is considered like the initial consecration, which is another way of saying that you are going to have to pay multiple penalties of a fifth. So my havila, what was the conclusion about this? Is the din that you have to pay multiple penalties of a fifth when you redeem hekdesh? Amar rav tavyumi mishmei da abai amar kra, viasav chamishis kesef erkecha, makish chumsho lechesef erko, ma kesef erko mosif chomesh, av kesef chumsho nami mosif chomesh. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, based on a comparison that the Pasuk in Bichukosai draws between redeeming Hekdesh and the obligation to pay Erechin, to pay one's own valuation or someone else's valuation, just as those payments are subject to a fifth penalty, as the Pasuk says explicitly, V'yasaf chamishis kesef erkecha, you pay the additional one-fifth for your Erech, for the valuation. So too, the Gemara says, there could be payments of a Chomesh on top of the original payment of a Chomesh. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, that when it comes to redeeming Hekdesh or Truma or any of these scenarios, in theory, you could have a scenario where you're going to be paying multiple payments of a fifth. Okay, then where's this gufa? I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Al hektesh rishon mosif chomesh, yal hektesh sheni in mosif chomesh. You only pay that chomesh, that fifth penalty, for the original consecration, but not for the second one. Again, as we noted before, if an item was already consecrated, you're not going to be paying chomesh for redeeming it. Amar Rava, my time under Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Amar Kra, v'im hamakdish yagales beso, hamakdish velo hamaspis. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi derives this from a pasuk at the end of Bechukosai. The pasuk describes a person who consecrates his house, who then wants to redeem it from Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, only the Makdish, only the one who initially consecrated his house, the house was chum, the house had no Kedusha before, only that person has to pay the Chomesh, via Saf Chamishis Kesef Erkecha, implying that the Maspis, a Maspis is a person who literally grabs onto something, he associates with something else. If the item already had Kedusha, and now he's attaching it to something which already had Kedusha, then he does not pay that additional penalty of a Chomesh. Tani Tana Kamei de Rabbi Elazar, the im ba behemah hatemeya ufada ve erkecha, ma behemah temeya miyuchedes shetchilasa hektesh vechula lashamayim umalin ba, av kol shetchilasa hektesh vechula lashamayim umalin ba. Comes the Gemara with another pasuk for the end of Bechukosai regarding a non-kosher animal. The pasuk describes one who redeems a non-kosher animal. Let's say, for example, a donkey, a firstborn donkey, a firstborn male donkey has kedusha. So the pasuk says that if you're going to redeem that firstborn donkey or the firstborn non-kosher animal, so just as a behemah temeya, non-kosher, if you consecrate a non-kosher animal, so the only function that it has is kula lashamayim. The whole thing is going to be consecrated to hekdesh because you can't eat the animal. You can't do anything with that animal other than have it work for the Beis HaMikdash. So if you consecrate, let's say, for example, a donkey or some other non-kosher animal to hekdesh, its only function is that it's now going to be able to work for the Beis HaMikdash. You have no use with it. You can't use it for anything. The whole thing is given to hekdesh, and therefore, if you were to use that animal, you would be in violation of mi'ilah. So too, says the Gemara, anything which is tchilasa hekdesh, anything which was from the outset consecrated and it's designated solely to Hekdesh, it has no other function, that is subject to Me'ilah, which is another way of saying, it's another indication that only something which is Tchilasa Hekdesh, it's the first time that you're consecrating it, that is going to be subject to the penalties of a Chomesh. Amar le Rabbi Elazar Lasana, Bishlama Kula Lashamayim, Lema Ute Kachim Kalim, Kevan de Islahu Labaila Begavayu, Lesbahu Me'ilah, Ela Tchilas Hekdesh, Lema Ute Mai. The Gemara says, I understand the phrase kula lashamayim that says that everything is designated for heaven, is designated for God, that is coming to exclude kachim kalim, certain types of karbanos like a carbon shlamim, because people are permitted or even obligated to consume part of those karbanos. So the Gemara here is only referring to those items that are exclusively in the domain of God. But what exactly is the phrase tchilas hektesh, that it's initially consecrated? What is that coming to exclude? So the Gemara explains, tchilas hektesh hu de'is be'me'ilah, sof hektesh leis be'me'ilah. What you're going to tell me, that only an item that was initially consecrated is subject to the prohibition of Mi'ilah, but something which is at the final stages of consecration is not? So the Gemara says, perhaps our Gemara is referring to the halacha of Chomesh. It's referring to the idea that we developed earlier in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, that you only pay the penalty of a Chomesh for something which is at the initial stage of consecration. It's not, in other words, it's not to suggest that something which is at the, which has been consecrated multiple times is not subject to Mi'ilah. It makes no sense. Why would an item that's consecrated multiple times not be subject to Mi'ilah? Megillah. But perhaps the Gemara suggests it's a reference to the statement of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi that it's not going to be subject to multiple payments of Chomesh. And in fact, the Gemara says, I'm relaying in Hachika Amin. That's exactly what I meant to say. Namely, that it's not going to be subject to multiple payments of Chomesh if it's at the later stage of consecration. Amar le Rav Ashi le Ravina, Behema Temeya Betchilas Hekdesh Isa, Be'emtza Hekdesh Leisa. So asks the Gemara, but the non-kosher animal that was consecrated, the Gemara says, is it only going to be subject to the beginning stages of Hekdesh, but not the middle stages of Hekdesh? In other words, it's true that you can argue that a non-kosher animal is not subject to what's called Sof Hekdesh, because it can never be offered as a carbon on the Mizbeach, but at the very least, it should be subject to what the Gemara refers to as Emtza Hekdesh, to a middle stage of Hekdesh, which means that I can theoretically look at that non-kosher animal that you just designated, and I can say, I want my animal to be like that. That's similar to the scenario we mentioned earlier, where you're being maspis, you're associating the Kedusha with another animal. So why is it so out of the realm of possibility to suggest that a non-kosher animal could be associated with that middle level of Hekdesh? So the Gemara says, no. Amar li lefi she'ena b'sof Hekdesh. The Gemara says, because since that non-kosher animal is not subjected to ever being offered as a carbon on the Mizbeach, by definition, it's also not going to be able to be subjected to that notion of Emtza Hekdesh. It can't be in that middle stage either, where someone can associate an animal with that degree of consecration with that non-kosher animal that you set aside as a carbon.